lives here tonight. Psalm chapter 2. I want you to go ahead and go, if you will, with me to the last verse. I'll tell you what, let's read verses 10 through 12 of Psalm 2. Psalm 2:10, "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, S-O-N, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." I love that last phrase. Amen. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. It's a very interesting psalm here. Let's pray. Father God, direct us, give us your power, and help us, Lord, to point out the right things here this evening. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me preach tonight for a few moments on the blessing of trusting. The blessing of trusting. Now, what we have here, you know, usually with these psalms, we try to, you know, look at the setting of what setting might be behind it. Well, this one is what we call prophetic and messianic. We believe that this psalm is not looking to talk about David. It's beyond that. It's talking about the millennial reign of Christ is what we believe this psalm is talking about right here. The Lord's coming back one day, amen. And he's coming back in the rapture to gather us up, and then 7 years after that, 7 years on the earth after that, he's coming again, and he'll set up his millennial reign on the throne of David there in Jerusalem. Aren't you looking forward to coming back with him for that, amen? Law and order will definitely be the thing at that time. So that's the setting of this psalm. Now, this psalm tells of some fierce opposition. World leaders will not be happy with his policies. Now, that's interesting. In the millennial reign, there will still be nations and leaders and kings. Yes, now Jesus will be the one ruling the earth, but yes, there will still be nations. And they're not going to like the Lord ruling. They're not going to like his policies at all. I'm going to enjoy it myself. Amen. He's going to rule with a rod of iron at that point. People will comply because they have to. There will be peace on the earth because there has to be peace, right? Because the Lord is in control. Back up to verse 1. Back up to verse 1. It says there in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." They're not going to like it, but there's not going to be anything they can do about it. Right? Amen? So that's what he's saying. The Lord is the all-powerful King of kings, Lord of lords. He loves everybody. And as he ended this psalm, those that trust him will be blessed. So we're not trying to paint God out to be a mean dictator, but that's the way it will be. He will be the one ruling at that point. Now, they're not going to like it. They're going to rage against it. They're going to resist him. But they will comply because they will have to comply. And no matter how severe or intense their anger is. You know, in Acts chapter 2, Peter quoted this passage. Now, for him at that time, there was resistance and there was rage against God and against God's way and against the way, as the book of Acts calls it there, the New Testament way and the New Testament church. And as they were being persecuted, he pulled this passage out and he quoted that passage right there, but because it applied. Now, although this is about the millennial reign of Christ, although this is about, tribulation happens and then, the rapture happens, then the tribulation happens, and then we come back for the second coming, okay? And although this is about all of that, it applies to us today as well. We can apply every bit of this to us today. Now, if you look there again, I read the last few verses now. Okay, look at verse 9. Just jump to verse 9 real quick. "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron." That's what the millennial kingdom will be like. and shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. All right, look at verse 10 again. Now he gives some admonitions here. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. All right? In other words, be wise and get on board here. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling and kiss the Son. In other words, accept it and embrace it. But folks, isn't that the same thing right now today? We can choose to do all of this today. We're not forced to do it, but we can choose. I choose to do it. Amen. I choose to be on the Lord's side, don't you? I do want to kiss the Son. Love the Lord. Let me give you some thoughts here tonight. Just three basic thoughts from this. Number one, let me just say this, what we need to do. We're taking that. That's what the kings are told to do then, but we're told to do these things, same things here tonight. Number one, love the Lord simply. Just love the Lord. Whenever he says kiss the Son, not like Judas. Judas kissed the Son of God in hypocrisy and betrayal. And that's what a lot of people will be doing in the millennial reign. They'll be doing it just because they have to. They'll be doing it just... isn't it amazing the Lord knows the hearts of the people? Even in the gospel, there were times when the Lord read people's minds and blew their minds because the Lord knew exactly what they were thinking, right? God knows. He knows what's on our hearts today. We need to genuinely love the Lord. So he tells those people then to kiss the Son, love him, embrace him. That's what you ought to do. He said, be wise. Serve the Lord and there can be rejoicing. So, you know, today we have a lot of people that claim to love Jesus, but they don't actually live for Jesus. I know they claim to love Jesus because I see them passing around on Facebook. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm all about Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. And then I go look at about five more of their posts and I'm thinking maybe you ought to live for Jesus too. Amen? Right? A lot of people claim that they love the Lord, but they don't live for the Lord. Something's wrong with that picture. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we show our love for the Lord. Kiss the Son. Love the Lord. But you show that you love the Lord by living for the Lord. So we show our love by following. Even again, the kings of that day, they'll comply because they have to comply. But I say it's best to do it right now because he loves you and you love him. Amen. Isn't that the best way to live right there? Knowing that the Lord loves us and knowing that we can love the Lord and that we can understand his love. God commendeth his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how he shows us his love, right? He commended his love. He demonstrated his love. He expressed his love to us. Why? How? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And his Son came and his Son bled and suffered and bled and died and paid our sin debt. The wages of sin is death. That's our death penalty. And Jesus came and paid it. Hey, folks, we ought to love him because of what he's done for us. Amen. We ought to love him because if you're saved tonight, your sins are covered under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're washed away and you're not going to hell. Amen? Which would be your way and my way for eternity of paying for our sins in an eternal state of death. But it's an eternal state of torment. The Lord suffered on the cross so that we don't have to suffer that. And because he loved us, he first loved us, we love him because of that, right? We ought to just love the Lord. And these people that are rebelling against God, they ought to just learn to love the Lord. Amen? Just love Jesus. Paul said to Titus, speaking of the Lord, who gave himself for us. Now that's a lot in Paul's writings. He gave himself for us. That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. You know, God is building his kingdom now. God is building his church now. God is calling people unto himself right now. He said about the 12 disciples, he ordained them to be with him. You know why you're saved tonight? To be with him. Aren't you glad you're on his side tonight? Aren't you glad that means you're on the winning side tonight? Aren't you glad that means you can call upon the Lord anytime tonight? You're with the Lord and the Lord is with you. Lo, I'm with you always. thank God He's with us and He showed us, He commended to us, He expressed and He demonstrated to us. And we are a peculiar people. Why are we so peculiar? Because we're Bible-believing Christ followers. That makes us peculiar, right? You're very peculiar in this world. You're very peculiar to this world. Matter of fact, here's a good way. In the Greek, it just means we're weird to the world. Amen? Now, I think they're a little weird, by the way, but they think you're weird for being in church tonight. Good night. Wednesday night, yeah, I know Wednesday night used to be church. It's still church night. Amen? I like church night. It's Wednesday night. It's still church night. You're peculiar. You're weird. You believe that Bible. You even think that this stuff about a rapture and a second coming and a millennial reign on the earth, you even think that's real. That's how peculiar you are. I'm peculiar about that too. Amen? I believe the Bible. It is coming. It is going to happen. But why do I believe it tonight? I love Him. I love Him because I know He loves me. He proved that He loves me. Paul said to the Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Amen? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. Isn't that the way you do it? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul never got over that truth, did he? He said, I'm crucified with Him. Oh, that sounds terrible. Oh, no, it's not terrible. He loves me and gave Himself for me. It's wonderful. And because He went to Calvary, because He went up Calvary's hill, and He went to that cross, and He suffered and bled and died to show us He loved us, and to gather unto Himself a peculiar people, and to gather a church unto Himself. And He's going to come one day and meet us in the air in the rapture. Why? Because He just loves us. Do you love Him tonight? Do we love the Lord? Are we living to please the Lord? You know, people today, they get real excited, man. They can get behind a political candidate, right? And they proudly show that they're behind this particular candidate. In fact, some people go as so far as to be political donors, and boy, they'll give a lot of money to that campaign. You know, I believe this. I believe if you love the Lord, you'll give your time, you'll give your talent, you'll give your treasure. You'll give to the Lord, you'll give to the church, you'll give to missions, you'll give to the cause of Christ. Amen. Why? Because you love Him. You'll witness for Him because you love Him. You'll serve Him because you love Him. You'll come to church tonight because you love Him. Y'all with me tonight? Is this nap night or... We can preach on Wednesday night too, right? Amen. Let's do some of that. Let's love Him and serve Him and live for Him and please Him. And here's the thing. In the millennial reign, a lot of people are going to do it because they're going to have to do it. Hey, I'm looking at people tonight. You didn't come to church tonight. You didn't witness today because somebody twisted your arm to do it. You did it. You do it because you want to do it. The Lord put it in your heart and you say, He loves me. I love Him. Nobody's got to twist my arm to make me love Jesus or do something for Him or speak up and witness for Him. You know, sometimes it might seem like that. The Lord's got to twist our arm. The preacher's got to turn up the heat a little bit maybe to get us to do what we're supposed to do. But no, if you love the Lord, you're just going to do this, right? Hey, those people in the millennial reign, a lot of them's going to do it because they have to do it. Why do the heathen rage? Why are they upset? Because they're having to do right now. Law and order is the rule of the day, and they don't like it. They don't like those righteous policies. But they're having to go along with it. But hey, we're going to be there too. And we're going to be there because we love Him. And we'd already made the choice during this time, during our lifetime, to love Him. Amen? Love the Lord. Let me say number two, follow the Lord. Now, I could say right here too, fear the Lord. Go back to verse 12. All right, he says, kiss the Son. Well, that's love the Lord. Lest He be angry and ye perish from the way. When His wrath is kindled but a little. So I'm saying follow the Lord. They're being told right there, you follow the Lord. Now they're also being told right there to fear the Lord. Did you know if you fear God, you'll follow God? Well, now that's just, you know, we ought to preach the love of Christ. Well, the Bible teaches me He's more than love. He's also just and holy. And we see that on the cross.
On the cross, we see the love of God, but we also see the judgment of God against sin, our sin. But we see the judgment of God and the love of God as He judged our sin in His own Son. And He expressed His love. So yes, the Bible teaches both of these truths. You look at the attributes of God and all the attributes of God that you talk about and think of and get out of the Bible. His God is love, but God is also holy. That's why sin has to be dealt with. And God will deal with sin, right? He said, lest the Son be angry. Now, sometimes it's hard to comprehend this millennial reign that Jesus will return, set up His throne, that nations will still be intact, that they will comply. It'll be a time of law and order, and that not everyone will like or love the Lord. Even in that time of peace, there's going to be rebels in heart, just doing what they got to do. Just trying to get along as best they can, given an outward compliance, if you will. Look, they're on the wrong side when they're doing that. You know these anti-Israel protesters, even right now today in our country, are on the wrong side of this thing? Doesn't it make you mad to see the Prime Minister of Israel come and get treated the way he's getting treated and get snubbed by our politicians and have to deal with protest here in America? Folks, they're on the wrong side of this thing. And there's going to be, in that day, there's going to be people on the wrong side of that thing. But what I'm saying is, not only love the Lord, let's follow the Lord. Because choices do have consequences, and that's what he's talking about here. Lest he be angry. You know, going against God and rejecting His Son leads to hell, doesn't it? You know, people are like, oh, well, you know, that's not fair. You tell me I got a choice whether I want to love the Lord or follow the Lord or receive Christ or reject. You say I got a choice about it, but then you say, if I don't do it, I'm going to hell. What kind of fair is that? That's not fair. No, that's not about fair. That's just the fact that there are consequences for your choices. That's all that is. If we choose to do our own way and do our own thing and deny the Son of God, there is, yeah, I mean, you don't have to do anything to go to hell but that. Now, if you want to go to heaven, you got to change course. You got to learn to love the Lord. You got to learn to follow and fear the Lord, right? You know, even for Christians, by the way, even for Christians, Hebrews 12 and other places tells us, if we disobey God, we should fear lest His wrath be kindled, and we go through chastening. Now, what does He say in Hebrews 12? He says He chastens us just like you do your children because He loves us. And He wants to get us back on the right track. So there again, you see the love and the holiness. So you say, man, God is judgment, God is wrath, God is angry. Yeah, but you know, you got to remember something. God hates sin because He knows what sin or how sin will ruin the lives of the people He loves. Hey, don't you hate to see people get into trouble with the law or get in trouble in sin, and you love them and you didn't want them to go that way? God's the same way. And sometimes God, with His own children, will chasten us and there will be chastisement, but God's just trying to get us back on the right path. Can God get angry with His... God is angry with the wicked every day. The Bible says that, right? Can He get angry and upset and disappointed in His own children? Absolutely. But again, He's trying to get us back on the right track simply because He loves us. Folks, I'm saying this. Let us choose to love Him. Let us choose to follow and fear Him. Because you know, there's coming a day, every knee shall bow and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. I'd prefer to do it right now, amen, instead of waiting until it's a forced situation. Moses and Joshua both asked that question, who is on the Lord's side? Well, you're going to be on, you say, oh, you know, why you got to make sides? Somebody said that recently. Well, you know, in America right now, why do you have to be on sides? Let's just all unite. Because there's two sides in America. That's why. You got to figure out which one you're on. And Jesus said that He would come and He would bring division. Because people are either going to love Him or hate Him, despise Him. They're either going to follow Him or and receive Him, or they're going to resist and reject. And that's what the unequal yoke is. Whenever A Christian gets mixed up with the world and wants to marry an unbeliever. You got an unequal yoke there. Why? Because you're not on the same page. You're not going in the same direction. There is a natural division there. But right now, I want to choose to be on the Lord's side. So Moses and Joshua both asked that question about who is on the Lord's side. Well, I hope today we can answer and say, I am. I want to be on the Lord's side. Amen. Hey, let's love the Lord. Let's follow and fear the Lord. I've added that second one. Now, follow and fear the Lord. And then number three, let's delight in the Lord. That's the last phrase there in verse 12. Blessed are they that put their trust in Him. Blessed are they that put their trust in Him. I love that phrase. Blessed are they. Well, that's not fair. God sends people to hell. Now, actually, we got a choice in this matter. And if we want to get blessed, here's the problem. People want to live in sin, and they want to do as they please, and they still want to get blessed from God in heaven. Doesn't work like that, does it? No, if you want to get blessed, you can get blessed. In fact, God prefers to bless us all. He wants to bless us all. But He cannot bless us if we're doing our own thing. God cannot bless us while we're rejecting His Son. People that reject your child, you probably don't bless them. And God doesn't either. Same thing, right? If they don't bless His child, they won't get blessed. But the Bible's teaching us here, it's the best incentive. If you want to be blessed, just love and follow and delight in the Lord. Because blessed, that is happy, delightful, are all they that put their trust in Him. I had a lost young man tell me years ago. He was very insightful. But he told me this. He said, well, I'm not in church. I'm not really saved. He said, but I do got, he said, I think I got enough sense to know that my family members who follow the Lord are more peaceful than the rest of them. And that ought to tell you something, young man, right? No, he saw it. He could understand that. Why? Because blessed are all they that put their trust in the Lord. They're going to be blessed. Oh, you mean they'll never have a problem? No, we didn't say that. You mean they'll never have a trial? We didn't say that. But they're blessed by God, they're with God, they're on the side of God, they got the love of God, the direction of God, the help of God, and they've got a home up in heaven. I'd say that's pretty blessed, amen, right? That's blessed right there. And whenever you go through troubles and trials, God sent or devil sent, or you caused them yourself, you've got a God that you cry out to. You're blessed, amen? You can get the help and the guidance and the direction of the Lord and all of these things. Thank God for it. God wants us to be blessed. I mean, He ended with that. He can get angry with you. He says here, you ought to be wise and be instructed and serve Him and kiss the Son and lest you be angry. But blessed are all they that trust in the Lord. So when people are like, you know, I don't think, you know, God's sending people to hell. No, God said, you're blessed if you just trust Him. How do I get off the road to hell and go to heaven? Trust Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Right? Well, I don't want to do that. Well, we already said there's consequences for not doing that. And that's your choice. But if you want to know the joy of the Lord, and the peace of the Lord, and the help of the Lord, and the home of the Lord up in heaven, blessed are all those that trust in the Lord. I like that phrase. That's a blessing to me to keep saying that when I keep reading it. Amen? How do we get the blessing? Trust Him. Trust in Him, trust in His Word, trust in His wisdom, trust in His ways, and trust in the work that He did on the cross for your soul. Just trust it. You know, people today are like, well, you know, everybody's better off and gone to heaven, right? Whether they live for God or not, that's what we seem to say and think. It's what the devil puts in our mind. Well, what are we saying? Well, you know, I want to go to heaven, or I want to be blessed. I don't want to believe in hell. I don't want to go. I don't even believe in hell. Everybody goes to heaven. That's what people believe today. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe in the devil. They believe in God and Jesus and heaven. It just blows my mind that they don't seem to realize we got all of that from the same book. And we're picking and choosing the parts that we want to follow and believe. But the Bible says, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. So we're talking tonight about the blessing of trusting. That is the blessing. You know, the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please Him. You got to trust Him just to please Him. If somebody said, if we don't trust God, we make God out to be a liar. Now, you don't like anybody to call you a liar. Does that please you? Somebody says, you're a fool and you're a liar. Oh, thank you. I'm really blessed by that today. Now, you don't like that. You don't want to hear that. But if they believe you and respect you and trust you, that blesses you, right? And God is the same way. If we say, God, I believe you. I believe there's a hell. I believe I'm on the way there. I believe your Son is the perfect Son of God. I believe that He died on that cross. He paid for sin, my sin. I believe that He was buried and resurrected again on the third day. And He's the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel, right? And I believe that. And if you believe the Word of God, and then you get saved and you say, I want to walk in the ways of God and the wisdom of God, and I want to trust in the work of God on the cross, all of that pleases God. And then as a Christian, you have a problem right now. Are you trusting God with your problem right now? If you're worrying, you're not trusting God, are you? We all worry, I know. I just preached on that one too last week, I think. We all worry, but I tell you, at some point, we got to trust God with it. And you please God when you trust Him. When you say, God, I need your help with this. God, I'm at the end of my rope. God, I don't know what to do. Lord, I love you. I know you love me. I know you care. And Lord, your word says this. And God, and if I cast all my cares upon you, the Bible says you care for me and you'll direct my path. You know, God, without faith, without trusting Him, it is impossible to please Him. You got to believe Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Do you even believe that He exists? Well, you got to start there, right? And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's saying the same thing as verse 12 right here says. He will reward those that diligently seek Him. That's the crowd that's going to be on the Lord's side in the millennium. They're going to be rewarded because they diligently sought the Lord throughout their lifetime and throughout that period of time as well. The blessing of trusting God. You know, the amazing thing is at the end of the millennium, during that whole time, praise God, the devil's going to be bound. He won't be able to do his work. But at the end of that thing, God's going to loose the devil. And the amazing thing is, He's going to gather up an army from all those people that have been living through that peaceful time. And in their hearts, rebellious against God, He's going to raise up an army and revolt one last time. And I was scratching my head thinking, why in the world, after being under the reign of a loving Lord in a peaceful time, would you want to go to war with the devil? Doesn't that blow your mind? Doesn't that make you scratch your head? Why in the world? Why do the heathen rage? That was the question. Why do the heathen rage? Why are the heathen going to rage at the end of the millennial reign? Folks, sin is... Sin twists the brain, right? It twists the mind and the hearts. After living through that, they're still going to resist and revolt and fight against God. But for those who make the right decision to simply put their trust in Him, it'll be a blessed day. It'll be a blessed time. And it'll be blessed forevermore. Amen. I don't want to be on the devil's side today. I don't want to sow discord among the brethren. That's the devil's work. I don't want to be lying on people. That's the devil's work. I don't want to be involved in that. And I don't want to follow Him on that day. You've already made your choice, so you're saved. You're with the Lord, amen? And you'll be there. But you're going to see these people and say, how in the world? Yeah, you might know people during that time, and then you see them on the devil's side fighting that battle. Why? I thought you were okay, you know? They'll surprise you today, too, right? Amen? Well, I thought you were one of the good guys. I had to be. I mean, all... Well, maybe you should have went and read Psalm 2, because we'll still have the Bible in those days, amen? Maybe you should have went and read Psalm 2, those last three verses. Maybe you should have read that last line. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. The blessing of trusting. Isn't it a blessing for you when you trust God with things?
Isn't it a blessing with you whenever you trust God through your valleys and trials and troubles and storms? Isn't it a blessing with you to know that you're going to heaven one day? Amen. And He's preparing a place. Isn't that a blessing? Why is all that true? Because you made the choice to trust in Him. Keep doing it. Keep trusting. Amen. And He wants to keep helping and blessing. Let's bow our heads this evening, please. Dear Father, I thank You, Lord, for this truth. I thank You, Lord, for these great truths that are here in Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for guiding and directing us in this. And Lord, I pray for so many others that we know, lost loved ones, Lord, that need to make the right choice and get on the right side. But Lord, help us, God, to fear You and follow You as we should, to love You as we should, and to delight in You as we can. And our Lord, just bless these folks here tonight and those that will hear this message. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Sam, come on, lead us in a song before we have prayer time.
Amen. Let's go ahead and stand one more time tonight. Let's stand one more time, and we'll turn to 262. 262, Leave It There. We'll sing the first and third verse. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. On the third, when your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen. You may be seated. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. I'm glad that we can take our burden to the Lord. Thank you for those that have watched us tonight on the live stream and those that are here. And for those that are here, we're going to take a few minutes, share some prayer requests, and we'll pray and be dismissed tonight. And thank you for you all for coming and being with us tonight. Hope that will help you. Amen. All right, a few prayer requests. Let's pray for the ones I've already mentioned tonight. I do want you to pray for my father. He's in the hospital, going to have a heart catheterization in the morning. And if you will, remember him and my mom as they're going through that. Ms. Shirley McLawhorn, let's keep praying for her. She's getting over her cataract surgery and going to have the other one done as well. Milton Mercer, we were asked to pray for him with some health challenges. Shelby Heath as well. And then our son Clint, he's sick. He thinks he has COVID. So pray for him, all right? He'll get over that soon. All right, what else in our missionaries that we mentioned? What else in our country? Do we need to pray for our country? Any needs there? Yeah. All right, let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our country. All right, what else do you have tonight you'd like to mention? Unspoken request. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay, Earl, pray for Earl, hurt his back, and his brother Mike. All right, who else? Yes, sir?
I have a phrase I just wanted to say. Okay, good. Just keep praying for Ron and kind of some uncertainties in his future right now, so pray the Lord to be at work in that. Brother Roland? Okay. All right, let's pray for Miss Julie about that. Yes. All right, 2-year-old with some health issues. Brother Bronny? Mm-hmm. Right. That's Miss Yvonne Ramos. Let's pray for them. Pray for her. All right, let's pray for lost loved ones. Let's pray for Sunday services, God's power and presence and help and attendance, the spirit of the services. Let's pray for all of that and God's blessing and guidance as we go into the future. Let's certainly be praying for that and all of our missionaries and mission support to continue to travel or be channeled through Liberty Baptist Church. All right, what else tonight do you want to mention before we go to the Lord in prayer? Yes. Safe travels next week. Yes, thank you for that. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. You remember as much of this as you can. And while you're praying, I'm going to ask Brother Allen, if he will, to lead us aloud. And then when he's done, you're dismissed. And appreciate you being here tonight.